Now, as I mentioned a little earlier today, today is World Mental Health Day. I hope you have the resources to check yourself, not just today, but every day. We've come a long way, a long, long way, when it comes to discussing mental health, just in the last two decades, it seems. Not so long ago, just the mention that you were seeing a psychologist would get those gossipy chins wagging. I wouldn't say we're perfect yet, not by a long chase, but we're getting better at being honest about something that is universal, no matter what your lot is. Life can be confusing, bewildering, frightening, perplexing, challenging, and often all at once. Twigging to the fact that everyone is carrying their own burden makes it easier to be more comfortable with your own load and more empathetic towards others. A new series about to air on SBS and NITV called It's Fine, I'm Fine goes some way to helping us get hip to the fact that we should probably amp up the caring when it comes to looking after the mental health of ourselves and others. Creator and director of the series, Steph Smith, joins us on the phone now. Good morning, Steph, and congratulations on the release of the series.
G'day, g'day. Thanks for having me.
Mate, well, it's been a pretty fantastic response to the pre-release or the early release of It's Fine, I'm Fine. I mean, just for example, being chosen for official selection in competition at Cannes Series 2022, a level of interest every filmmaker dreams of. Where did the dream start?
Oh, gosh, honestly, frustration. it came out of a desire to see more stories and generate more opportunities within the industry, not just for myself, but for a lot of others. Because I think a lot of this time in the industry, you can kind of spend time working on your own career and a lot of people get left behind. And I kind of wanted to create a framework for something that didn't do that.
So how did you, I mean, you've got this inspiration to do something different. What inspired the creation of a series on mental health?
Therapy. I go to therapy. I was going to hypnotherapy at the time, which sounds really woo-woo and weird. I'm from the country. I remember as a little girl when I first kind of said to my parents, look, I might benefit from talking to someone early on. The joke in Wagga was like, well, here's 50 cents, here's a tissue and call the helpline.
Yeah.
So there was very much this kind of negative stigma around just talking. And I think even still, gosh, isn't the rate of suicide around young men like crazy high? So I was going to hypnotherapy where you didn't have to talk so much. You kind of visualize things creatively. And I found it really liberating to not have to sit in the words of all this trauma, but to kind of look at things a bit differently. And so that really informed where the show came from.
Right. Well, the series follows Joanne, a psychologist, and her interactions with her patients. So we all have a bit of Danny Linen in the closet, but Joanne is dealing with everyone else's as well. I've often wondered how psychologists deal, or do they?
Oh, totally. I think this is the thing. Everybody needs to talk to somebody or have some sort of therapy. And sometimes it's exercise, sometimes it's chocolate and a cup of tea at the end of the day, and sometimes you think you really need professional help, and that is okay. It's all okay. Whatever your type of therapy that you need at that point in time is all right. And I saw this meme on Instagram the other day that was like, let's normalize therapists needing therapy. I thought it was really funny.
Well, because, I mean, that is this shared experience, isn't it? I mean, life is a confusing, bewildering and frightening experience. Throw in perplexing as well.
Oh, existence alone is utterly terrifying. And then when you kind of look at it from a level of where we are in the universe, that we might be alone in that as well. And then what's happening in the world, it's pretty uncommon for people not to need some sort of outlet and support network.
Now, Joanne sees a variety of patients. Where did you come up with the individual characters and their individual issues that they're having to discuss with Joanne?
Yeah, I didn't. The amazing writing team did. So we've got writers from heaps of different lived experiences. So, for example, our lead actress and writer on the series, Anna Maria Bello, she's actually deaf. And then we've got Chris Bunton, who is a writer and an actor, and he has Down syndrome. And then we've got beautiful Wendy Mockey, who's in three episodes across the series, and she explores the taboo nature of therapy in Black Pacifica culture. And we've got so many different types of stories in the show, and that was actually all informed by the writers and what they wanted to say. They were never told what they had to explore, and I think that's one thing that this industry does, is it employs a lot of people from different backgrounds and only lets them tell the story for the box that they want to be put in by production. And I didn't want to do that to anyone on this. So the stories all came from the writers in their own unique perspectives.
Right. That's how you get such a broad swathe of input into it, because it's just so many different issues that one could cover in that, deciding what to actually put in front of people in this sort of setting is very difficult. I imagine it touches a few raw nerves for the viewer.
So the writers basically came to me with log lines of ideas of what they wanted to explore. And some of them, we've got one amazing playwright in there, Nick Coyle, who his episodes are just insane. One of them is The Stress Dream, which is the most hectic, absurdist comedy you've seen. And then we've got an episode about grief and laundry that's by Archie Michael, which is super meditative. So it's a really mixed bag in terms of genre.
Well, right. Okay, so it actually narrows down to something specific as looking at grief, yeah?
Yeah, so each writer kind of picked what their character wanted to explore. And so Archie's, for example, it's about grief 2 years on. So, and how that those feelings kind of linger and never really disappear, and they can stay with you. Whereas Wendy Mockey's character arc is about grief in the early stages of losing a loved one. And then we've got stories that have absolutely nothing to do with those things and are more about, existential nihilism as a 30-year-old woman and having no idea of what your place is in society in this new world where you can't afford to buy a bloody house. So the stories are very vast and varied.
It's difficult to imagine somebody watching this series and not seeing part of themselves in there. And that's why I'm imagining it would be a difficult watch for some of us. Now, why do you think that going to a psychologist is for some of the community, or even, as you're suggesting, a large part of the community, still kind of taboo or something that you'd gossip about?
I think I think about this a fair bit and have been recently, obviously, but a part of me wonders if it's because a lot of the time we leave seeing a therapist or a psychologist or someone who can support us in our mental health, we leave it until it's really too late, until we're feeling like we're at rock bottom or we're not coping at all, as opposed to using it as some sort of going to the gym and looking after yourself, and it's just part of your routine. And I wonder if the stigma kind of comes from because we leave it until that point and we're really in the I probably shouldn't swear, but we're really in it, we're going through it. I think that that's one of the reasons, whereas I'd love to, I personally, if I have a therapy appointment, I'll say that to a colleague or my boss, and you can hear their voice shift sometimes where they're like, oh, are you okay? And you kind of go, yeah, I'm okay. I'm actually going so that I'll remain okay. I was talking to a therapist and she was saying that the way that she sees psychology is that it's a part of your mental health routine, and you shouldn't – it was really interesting, but her perspective was go – for a few sessions and then go out in the world and live your life and see how you're coping, and go back when you need those new techniques or you need a bit of reinforcement and support, rather than this kind of New York rich society perspective of therapy where it's kind of like poor little rich girl and you go every week and you never really improve. I would like to see therapy as a bit of a routine growth thing, but yeah. I don't know whether people do.
Well, but that's the weird part. I don't think I've ever come across somebody who's gone to a therapist and come away going, my God, that was a bad experience. I'm never doing that again. Generally, if you get hold of a psychologist's ear and get a chance to chew it off, it always ends up working out well.
Yeah, and look, it's absolutely worth acknowledging that not every psychologist or therapist is for every person.
Correct.
And some people have had bad experiences, or they've finally gone and opened themselves up, and it's so expensive. Like,
yeah.
It can be really cost prohibitive to a privileged few. And so it's amazing that there are these services that people can take advantage of, like a mental health plan that's government supported, Medicare supported, or there's, you know, Lifeline and all these amazing outlets and avenues for people to get support. But I think around all of that, there is still really a bit of a taboo kind of nature of like, oh, do I really need this? I want to be okay.
Well, it certainly would be nice if the cost wasn't as prohibitive when one's going privately. It'd certainly make it a much easier service to access.
Yeah, but luckily I think access is becoming a much more broader kind of acknowledged thing where it should be available to people more readily. But yeah, it still can sting the wallet. Unfortunately.
Now, Steph, it's great to see SBS and NITV getting on board to get It's Fine, I'm Fine out into the Australian audience. It starts airing tonight, I believe.
Yeah, it starts airing tonight, and it'll be on for across four weeks on NITV on broadcast telly, and then the whole series will drop on SBS On Demand tonight as well at the same time, so 9:30 p.m. Australian, I think it's daylight savings time. And so, yeah, so if people want to go on demand and binge it, you can, or if you want to watch it on good old-fashioned broadcast telly, it'll be there as well. I'm hoping that what will come out of it is that people, I don't know, whether they see themselves or a loved one or a theme in one of the characters, and it just helps open up a conversation, maybe.
But that's all it has to do, right?
Yeah.
Just get the conversation started. Steph, the little bit that I've seen of the series so far looks fantastic, and let's hope it does inspire people to, you know, take up the cause of a better and mental health.
Fingers crossed. We're all a bit screwed in the head these days because look at the world around us. It's terrifying.
Mate, we are all a little bit messed up, and all you need to do is just put the hand out and help each other.
Yeah, totally.
Steph Smith, thank you very much for joining us on The Record this morning.
Hey, thank you. I appreciate it. Have a great day.
You too. That's Steph Smith. She's creator and director of the series It's Fine, I'm Fine. And as you just heard, it'll be on NITV this evening and then available to view at your leisure on SBS On Demand. So damn easy to get hold of.